You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Check, check, check.
Check it 1, 2, 3. Check it 1, 2, 3.
To my people out there, thank you for listening. It is your boy Jason Brown, a.k.a. JB3. We are in Legacy Week number 4. And you know what? I couldn't do a Legacy show without getting my guy Andy P. Beast, as everyone calls him. Andrew, how you feeling?
I'm good, my man. How you doing today?
We're being very general because the show goes 3 times throughout the day.
Yeah.
So we won't say whether we're in the daytime, it's just, or in the night, where it's just a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery for us
today. At this point. How's your day going?
My day's going good, man. I'm always good when I have a little cannabis to infuse and get a little medicated for the session, for sure.
So, for my listeners, please tell my people what you actually do and why it's actually important that I have you on this Purple Haze Radio Dash Radio talk segment.
So there's probably
and why you have me.
there's a couple of reasons, but I'm super blessed to be the CEO of Purple Haze Properties, and Purple Haze Properties is a cannabis lifestyle company that was very blessed to work with the IP of Jimi Hendrix, and we got Jimi Hendrix's brother and his 7 kids and family who are part of our company, and that was kind of the microcosm of what started into like a really crazy brand. And then we got approached to do Purple Haze Radio on Dash Radio, which is a cannabis lifestyle radio station. And I was super blessed when that position came over to us. And we created this unbelievable station that people get to enjoy cannabis talk shows and different zones of music and live concerts. And I'm really glad that we get to be in millions of cars all over the country.
So for all my people that, you know, watch my mixes when I'm at the studio late at night, when I'm smoking, when I'm walking my dog, generally I'm, you know, over here if I'm not at the job, I'm with this guy over here at the studio with the gang, with the Hollywood Magic school bus, or is it Hollywood Magic bus?
Hollywood Magic bus.
Hollywood Magic bus crew.
Gotta get on the bus.
Yeah, everyone's like a bus driver over here. And it's delivery service. As a matter of fact, if you're listening right now, take a second, pull your phone out, or you already got your phone, I'm sure. It's in your hand. Get on Instagram and look at Hollywood Magic bus.
Yeah, you can check out all kinds of cool brands and different stuff that's available. When you guys come to the wonderful state of California, you can smoke and enjoy all this crazy shit that we're trying to enjoy without you guys. But hopefully when you're here, you can enjoy some of this stuff. We got a whole bunch of oils. We got some terp sauce. We got some THCA. We got some bud, different genetics. Man, this is a great way to definitely roast out when we kick it and talk about. And it's definitely a pleasure for me to be on your show. Thank you so much.
For one, I want to make it clear to everybody out there. This is Andrew's setup. So I am on his show interviewing him on my show. It's just infinity. You see the number 8?
Yeah.
Happening right there?
I see the 8.
That's
happening.
Us. That's how relationships need to be.
Of course.
Smoke involved.
And organic.
420 friendly.
Hell yeah.
Dogs. My dog's here.
Dog's here.
The chilling. Other bus driver, he brings his dog.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
We got all the people.
He's always driving the bus.
And then we have all those cool celebrities that come visit Purple
Haze. Dude, Jimmy, Radio. Jimmy's the nicest guy. He just walked in.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Shout out to Jimmy.
Dude, listen. Jimmy's like becoming uncle. Okay? He just tells me when to shut up, when to play. Just go over there, keep DJing. This guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He knows everybody, everything about Los Angeles. I love Jimmy.
Props to everybody that works over at Purple Haze Properties and Purple Haze Radio and is part of the crazy crew we have over here in West Hollywood.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
And I went on that whole tangent just to let everybody know that Andrew is the one that got me this show.
Yeah.
So that's why you're hearing me.
For
and
sure.
This whole time, I've been missing out on the music. I just had to turn the volume up
yeah,
so that
for
we
sure.
can bump some
for sure.
some tunes.
For sure.
And of course,
Absolutely.
I gotta.
Can't have a little session without a little music, and we're a radio station, so we gotta definitely throw on some tunes. But I definitely have to say that one of the main reasons too, we brought Jason apart with the company, is that he's very talented and gifted, and his DJ sets and his shows are a pleasure to have on Purple Haze Radio. That's for sure.
Man, I love to come over here and mix. I appreciate you letting me just do my thing and jam out.
Man, we got to give creativeness to the world, right?
Absolutely. And we're bringing in more artists to come in and record.
Exactly.
Just like anybody at any other studio, it's getting ready to be vibing here.
Hell yeah.
Just lots like we put the music back on, things going to go up and turn up a notch. You know, we can do that. We're here smoking at an office. It's California. It's legal.
It's beautiful outside.
Thank God. And it's not just a recreational thing. We're doing it for healing, right?
Exactly.
There's so many other medical variations to the cannabis industry that that Purple Haze is involved in, that some that we're always talking about, that's always on our minds, and it's always developing. Andrew, someone that's in the business, where do you think it's going next? Now that California has made it legal, what do you honestly think is getting ready to happen?
I think that there's going to be an explosion. You know, it's going to be a wealth of knowledge, because California is a massive state. I'm talking about 55 electoral votes. You got millions and millions of people, and one of the largest tourist destinations in the United States, beautiful sunny California, where even when it's cold, it's like 50, 60 degrees. And most people come here and they're like, God damn, it's so fucking beautiful. Where like in Cali, if it's fucking 70 degrees, people are putting on sweaters and shit. That just shows you how different it is in sunny West Coast California. But when all you guys come here, you're going to enjoy a state that's been medically legal for 20 years.
Yeah,
20 years.
And really, to be honest with you, I live in California for most people that know. And man, it's no difference now that it's legal. It's like, you know, a shop or a clinic or a dispensary, they may let you in with just your Cali ID. You know, it's not that wide open, okay? So
yeah,
you still
there's 10 counties. Yeah, there's 10 counties.
Explain that for people,
so
please.
You can't just go cruise into any dispensary and be like, yo, what up? I'm a tourist. Fucking hook
it's
me up.
It's not like Denver.
Yeah, it's not like that yet. It just started. So there are a lot of counties that are like, whoa, 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 I don't want flooding of tourists coming into my fucking place and just everybody all over the place going crazy like it did in other states, right? So they're going to try to regulate it a little bit. So only about 10 counties accepted recreational, where West Hollywood, this wonderful, wonderful place where we are.
Right here on
is
Sunset Strip, baby.
Recreational, because it is the mecca for tourists to come and visit and go check out Man's Chinese Theater with all the Hollywood stars right down the street from us, where your wonderful, wonderful grandfather, James Brown, has a star, and my boy Jimmy. Shout out to Jimi Hendrix.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The two duos.
It's a legacy thing. That's why we're on the legacy show. Absolutely.
You know it.
When you know that it's rich culture, why not combine the two? Why not put the brand together and influence more cultures?
Yep. Because how many people might not have listened to this stuff? And it's cruising on different generations of people cruising the car, listening to this shit, and they're like, you know what? That stuff sounds pretty fucking funky. Listen to his fucking grandfather doing his thing in the background, fucking shaking his motherfucking thing.
Well, hey, the inventor of funk, don't you think, would have a little funk?
Hell yeah.
I would expect.
This was the jam back then. I remember when he used to shake it. Oh, yeah. Up on the stage.
We won't put it out there what year you were born.
I don't give a fuck. I'm 44.
Okay, you're 44. So this song came
out. Hopefully,
I'll
be there to double of that. Hopefully.
I think this song came out in 68.
68. I was 73. So, yeah. But you know what?
That's very cool.
When I was around eight, nine years old, tunes fucking bumping. You know, this shit was going down in my house. Oh, yeah. It was one of those eras where we fucking had all kinds of music. But this one, I remember for sure, for sure. I remember seeing him on TV, man moving, shaking. I'm like, damn, there ain't no white boy in that era could move like that. That's for sure. For
well,
sure.
We saw how Mick Jagger ended up doing a little of his moves later on. And,
some people.
And then, you know what? The rest of the world, eventually, when it comes down to music, because Granddaddy's the most sampled artist of all time. But, and so, and that's not going to stop. That's going to continuously
absolutely.
Be that way.
Absolutely.
And with that, you know, again, that's why this is the legacy show. You know? That's why I'm having people that are coming on my show that have legacies or starting a legacy in some form or fashion, whether that's a business, whether it's a movement, whether it's an artistic effort to something, it's empowering and it's self-enlightenment, and you're reaching out to people.
Absolutely.
With that being said, do you think that the cannabis industry is going to do that and more so unite the country?
I think because of just even certain political things that just recently happened, you know, even with Jeff Sessions, you know, he started saying, oh, I'm going to come after marijuana. I'm going to come after and do all this stuff. And then there was this massive blowback from Republicans and Democrats that are like, you know.
Could you help a few people and me understand? Because I got to admit, I don't really fully understand. I know that he's the U.S. attorney.
He's the attorney general of the United States. Yeah.
US,
so
right.
Essentially, he is the overlord of law for United States.
Okay.
And what he does, you know, is an ability that nobody else gets to do, which is a very scary position, you know, that nobody even realizes that, oh shit, the only person who gets to elect that person is the president.
My prediction is that the industry will continue regardless.
Oh, absolutely.
Because at this point,
absolutely.
How can you turn it back?
Absolutely.
Let's be honest.
These states
are
making so much money.
Are you going to tell people, no, we're going back? No. No, I don't think you can really just do that anymore.
No. So many states, Colorado, burn up $1 billion, you know, each year. They've already given like $30, $40, $50 million to schools, roads.
Yeah.
They actually made so much money they had to give a little check back to every fucking resident. That's pretty fucking beastly right there, I would say for sure.
That's pretty interesting, man. It makes me want to go live in Colorado. And I visited not too long ago. Middle America, so middle America. But, man, it was an interesting... I went to Denver, to be exact. Interesting city.
It's a fun city.
The weed's a bit more dry. Kind of like Vegas.
Would you say that it's... Yeah, because we... But you don't think because of, like, the trees and this and everything, it's still, like, a humid kind of a place, or no?
No. I would say that the air is pretty crisp.
Interesting.
Because, again, you're 3,000 feet up, or you're it's the mile-high city.
I did go to Aspen. I went to a High Times.
It's colder.
Like, a High Times private dinner.
Uh-huh.
Where these guys who are interested, you know, rich investors who want to think about dabbling into the cannabis business,
uh-huh,
all paid like $5,000 a person to go into this wild mansion, and people presented to them, you know, certain things, and it was an event that High Times put, and I rolled into Aspen for it, and gave out a bunch of treats and shit, and you know, did our thing that we do at Purple Haze Properties. But the interesting thing that happened to me, which was crazy, I think it's because I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone up, there was the jazz festival, and Daryl Hall and John Oates and shit was playing up there. I got to go see them and hang out. High Times had a big VIP booth and all this type of stuff, and we went out for that. It was a lot of fun. And what was crazy is I kind of like smoked this, did all this stuff, and then like that night I like felt real fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I ever got rolled with altitude sickness. I never thought that you like didn't get it, you know, because I stayed at the top of Snowmass and I was like at the top of the mountain. And yeah, I kind of felt real, real wild, and I hadn't felt like that. Like,
so did the weed help or did it make it worse?
I think it helps for sure. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
You know? But it was just, I think just the food my stomach had like problems digesting it at that altitude, maybe, or I didn't, you know, if something fucking happened.
I didn't know that could happen to you. I would.
Oh, you can get crazy altitude sickness weird, when you go up to those things. You got to drink some water and like not be get dehydrated or anything, because it is true. You can. I don't care what age you are, you can get fucked up from that shit for sure.
You think you can get that from planes?
No, because planes got like they're closed looped. You know, like they regulate all that shit in the plane.
Okay.
When you're out in the fucking air and you're thousands of feet up, it's way different than, like...
Absolutely.
Us being ocean level, pretty much, where we're at. You know what I'm saying? The beach ain't fucking far from here. You
right.
know?
Right.
So, we're on tsunami fuck us up level.
What's next with the Purple Haze Properties and what's the next event?
We got always doing High Times Cannabis Cups. Come on. We got to always represent... Always going to be around for 420 and stuff like that.
I missed out on, you know, that's my birthday.
I know.
And I missed out on it last time. I had something lined up, but this time we'll be there. We'll be probably doing a show there. I'm sure we'll be recording live. We can just take the Apollo 8.
Yeah.
It's on a cart.
We're mobile.
So we are mobile.
We made ourselves mobile.
Just like we're mobile in Arco.
Yeah. We're cannabis radio friendly.
Shall.
That's some funny shit.
Shall we continue smoking?
Shall we continue?
Shall we?
We shall.
I can't think of any other gas stations that would work.
Nah.
In the process.
Unless you want to mobile around.
Nah. But next, with Purple Haze Properties, the next festival is High Times?
Yeah, High Times, always, Chalice. We'll be hitting all
it's
kinds
January,
of
it. It's January, so does anything come out in February,
you know,
March?
I do speak around the country. You know, okay. I haven't really, you know, I spoke last year in Seattle and Oregon and California and New York and Boston,
How long have
Massachusetts.
You been in the cannabis industry?
25 years.
Okay.
25 years. Long time. Long time getting into the industry and hanging out with all the crazy motherfuckers and activists and... going through the different generations of what people thought was what was going to happen in their lifetime. So
that's interesting to think, you know, you've been in the industry for 25 years and it's been illegal that entire time. And it's still illegal for the majority
of it.
How does that happen? Or how could you put that in a few words?
I mean, it's not like, you know, that was my source of business. I was in the industry, you know. I owned glass blowing companies and worked with the best glass artists from around the world. And
We
got high-end glass and smoke shops.
That means
and
bongs, pipes,
but beautiful artistic ones that looked like beautiful works of art that you wouldn't even think you could smoke weed out of it.
Gotcha.
And guys that have been in the profession and sat on, you know, in kilns and sitting there with a fucking torch with strains of glass, and they're sitting there for hours and hours and hours and hours creating an art and a masterpiece that is very fragile and, you know, is costly.
Right.
You know, and rare. You know, certain stuff.
Have you ever seen like a huge one just get destroyed and dropped?
Man, I've broken, not me personally, but motherfuckers, ton of motherfuckers have broken $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 pieces of mine.
Holy crap.
I've never broken my own piece, but many a times homies have broken my pieces.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rough, but it's one of those things. It's like if he's a really good friend, you're like, and you know, it would take him a lifetime to pay you back. It's like, don't even bother. You know what I mean? Like you're friends with the homie. You got to let that shit slide. I've let that shit slide so many times in my life. Yeah. I can't even count. I used to have monster glass collections. Now I'm just like really selective.
Yeah, now
you know,
it's.
It's fucked up because like the thrill.
You're going in right now.
Yeah,
you're really
the thrill of having these massive collections and then ones break and this and moving, shattered and this. I kind of like went through a cleansing. I almost got pissed. I started like, but my friends take advantage.
Not cleansing of glass.
Yeah, cleansing of glass. Even my friends know when I go through that stage, they come in like fucking repos, and they're like, oh, we'll wait till Andrew gets sick of like that piece after a few years, and then we'll pick it up on the cheap and shit.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll just give it away because I'm pissed or whatever the fuck it is, like, situation. I'll give it as a gift, and, like, people just know, good friends of mine, that eventually a come-up might go down. But, you know, once I cleanse through all my shit, that hasn't happened for a while.
That's interesting.
Definitely super blessed if you get bestowed with a piece by me. That's absolutely for sure.
Wow. You know, what's the most expensive glass piece that
I have?
You've been involved with? Not that necessarily
I,
well, have.
No, sure, I have the most. I have the most expensive.
Okay, let's hear it. I've got it.
It's been on Viceland multiple times. I was very proud to rock that motherfucker for.
Were you on Viceland?
Yeah, on Bon Appetit and a bunch of other shows where they've displayed my glass and stuff.
Bon Appetit.
Yeah,
I like that.
And
I was going to say, are you eating something? But,
and it was the number one piece of glass, top glass, 2009 in the world by High Times, August 2009. Beautiful piece I call the Scorpion King. Done by artist Eugene. And that piece rocks out about 250,000. I've done interviews on Charlo Green, another one of our celebrities. Shout out to Charlo.
Right.
And she's had where I've taken my piece out to go hang out with her. We used to have it at glass shows back in the day, and over 50 million people have seen it throughout the years. And, like I said, August 2009, and then we made the piece in about 2007. So it's probably, it was the mascot of my glass company. Mm-hmm. And when I left, you know, and moved on to new adventures in my life, it was the only fucking thing that went with me.
Mm-hmm. The glasses.
Just that one piece.
Just the one piece.
One piece.
I thought you had a small.
I had a giant shop with thousands of pieces. I had glass blowers. Right. Fucking tons of pieces.
But you didn't have a small collection?
No, I had a monster collection.
And now, was this the one piece that?
No, just the one that's in the, like, you know, like.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. If we had the camera set up, it would be cool to see it. But
it's been on so many shows. If you go on Facebook Live, go look at any of our Wake and Bake shows that we've done. You can see it a ton of times. We got that shit all over the place. Plus, you could check it out. It's been in magazines, things everywhere. It's like I said, it was a. True work of art, and shout out to Eugene for all the amazing pieces.
Right.
And all those great glass blowers that have been doing their thing for almost 20 years, a lot of them 15, 20 years doing what they do.
Right.
You know, but I have been through lots of great events, and we were the first people to hold the secret cups in Vegas in the 90s when High Times was starting to roll around to different places and doing it would be on the hush when it happened, and then it would be in the magazine afterwards, a few months later. Secret and then nobody would know where it was and stuff. But that was when all the old school ballers and the guys, like you said, it's a whole underground thing, could never rise up, could never show who they were, could never really be what they are unless you knew them through the subculture. But now
was that kind of like when EDC and Burning Man first started.
Burning Man, yeah. EDC wasn't even around when I'm talking about.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Burning Man has been around for all that time, absolutely, for sure. Mm-hmm. But
probably the same group, huh?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Well, Burning Man's still...
I'm sure you're sworn to some kind of...
Burning Man's still the same founders. Never changed. Same guys that rocked it on a beach and started in the 80s. Are still the same motherfuckers that have 85,000 people, and now they bought a huge piece of land, and when they transfer Burning Man, they probably will house 150,000 people one day, which is crazy that in the middle of a desert, you know, 85,000 people congregate for a few weeks and create a civilization that feeds and lives and parties and generates and trades on its own values and accords. And then when everybody takes off, there's nothing left but a speck of dust.
One day I'll do it. I have yet to do it, but perhaps this is the year, 2018. I'll need water.
It's a life changing thing, and you actually need to save up a few G's. It is not cheap. You have to have your water for your week, your clothes, goggles. There's windstorms. There's
holy
all kinds
crap.
Of crazy
so wait,
shit.
Wait, wait. Someone told me that money's not a thing there.
Well,
so
not when you're there. Everybody tries to bring as much as they can. Now, let's say your goggles break or something fucked up happens. Well, there's a good chance that someone out of the 85,000 people that are there have an extra pair, and they're going to give it to you for free. because that's what goes down when you're there, is that it's anybody who has access culture. Or actually, yeah, and that there were all these different tribes and groups that have been there for forever, for 10 years, this, and all they do is they have days where you can go around the playa even if you had nothing, mm-hmm. and you could go drink for free, you know, eat for free, find places where people are giving free massages, this, everything you could fucking imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's all contained in this crazy...
Talk about
the orgies, yes. Oh, there's fucking...
We want to hear that.
There's camps for fucking orgies. There's camps for just
girls. But on the reverse side, there's...
Literally, girls that just beat them. There's a camp where you can go in if you're a girl. Only girls allowed can go in. And they whack you off and get pleasured, and you roll out, and the next one rolls in. And they literally have shit like that, for sure.
So they have...
Pleasure camps.
Pleasure camps. Interesting.
If that's your thing.
How far is the pleasure camp from the family camp?
Well, you know, everything is kind of like around different areas, and people who choose to do that and bring their family, they're used to the culture, and they're bringing up their child.
Would
in
you
the
bring
way
your kid? Are you going to bring the daughters to
Burning
Man?
When they're old enough, I would say.
You're
going to
do it?
If I'm old enough and fucking... One day my girl decides that we visit the playa. You know, I was 10 years strong. I got a family. You know, I had changed my life. I have to, you know, I had to create I'm owner of a radio station. So I got to make sure that I try to be responsible. I try to be responsible. I got fucking millions of people that are going to be influenced by the shit that we're doing.
And you have two beautiful daughters
beautiful loves of my life.
And Melissa, your gorgeous wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for having me over for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was nice, man.
Shout out Melissa, because the food was good. And your mother-in-law. Andrew cooked too.
Hey, I cooked most of the shit. I cooked the bird, man.
Frankie was there.
Stuffing. Yeah, we had the whole crew.
Frankie's another bus driver for those who don't know. He's not really in my videos that much. He bounces out, but
he's also a wild graphic artist and gentleman of many other wild.
Frankie does the Illustrator, Photoshop,
all that kind of shit.
Designing.
We even got our boy Nick here, IT beast in the house.
Nick does the website.
Yeah, put that beautiful site
Photoshop,
that you got.
Illustrator,
beautiful
After
site
Effects,
that you guys
all that,
have.
All that, you know.
Get to see
super tech stuff
done
I mean,
by the super talent of the boys.
And they're not Asian. These
properties.
Guys are they're
American.
White
get the fuck out of here! Can you believe that shit? Right? I didn't hire no people in another state or country. They actually come in the office and work every day. Holy cow!
Yeah,
it's inconceivable.
We didn't fly anybody from out of the country to do any weird work. We just we get people from our tribe.
We keep it.
And honestly, I'll be honest with you. When you work in California, your jobs are more than likely just off of, you know, referral. You know, most people, I will admit, I hardly ever got a call back when I sent in a resume. I mean, once I knew how to make a slick resume, I got a few more calls. But for the most part, you don't get the job unless you really know somebody. You know, would you agree? I think LA is like a clicky,
for sure.
Mellow city. And if you don't have the connections, you can't really do that. Would you say the same about New York? You're from New York.
No, see, New York is like a whole different aspect.
It is.
I think I grew up in New York half my life, and then half my life, actually Vegas, and then wonderful California the past 4 years. And totally different culture and mindset. You know, New York is beautiful. I mean, don't you know, give props to the East Coast and
right.
Everything that people do that
New
have
York's
the
okay.
dedication to.
I'll be there. I'll be there for the Grammys.
To the life of the city, but it is a more of a mentality where it's like survival of the fittest.
Right.
You know, you got to do what you got to do to rise to the top and make yourself something. You know, because nobody else is going to do it for me. You know, so that's like, I would say it's a very heavy attitude on the East Coast, but that's because, like, you could understand it, you know, jobs, life, culture, weather, all kinds of things that have an impact on your life, you got to understand, you know, affects the culture and where it is that you live.
Right.
You know, so the same thing and the same aspect happens when you live in, let's say, Florida. Florida's like nice and sunny a lot. different weather. People can walk around more. They can participate. They can do all kinds of stuff. Depends on where you live. It's a different attitude, different life. Same thing with Cali.
Do you ultimately prefer the West Coast?
I grew up in the East, and I rest in the West, baby.
Interesting.
Exactly.
I personally don't, I would go back home to small town Augusta. It's just gotta, I have to have everything else. You know, I have to have the means. I probably want to have my own plane. You know, I probably want to have like a boat.
Yeah.
Probably want to have a couple of cars in case I need to just jet out. You know, I don't need, to hire a pilot or to go buy a ticket. I can just fly my own shit. You ever thought about getting like a six-seater Cessna?
All right. You know? So, I got to tell you.
My granddad had a private jet. One little quick thing. One of the first black men in America. Turn it down.
The time is three.
Oh, we're 30 minutes. Minutes. Yeah. So one of the first black men in America to have a private jet. That's it.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking... Well, I'll tell you. So the thing about the jet thing, okay? I have, enjoyed going on regular planes. I'm used to going on flights and stuff like that. And, first class is definitely an advantage for certain reasons if you can afford to do it in the right situation. It's a longer flight, but I've taken some with, they have like puddle jumpers, like when you go to
charters.
When you go to Colorado, most of the time if you go to Aspen or go to certain place or Seattle and you want to go up to the gorge or something like that, you gotta take a small ass motherfucking plane. Now it isn't necessarily seated like a jet, okay?
Yeah.
But it's still a commercial fucking airplane. And let me tell you, those small planes don't seem fucking that stable.
you feel the wind on a small plane,
that motherfucking shit. So let me tell you, my opt sometimes, we were up in Aspen and props out to the owner of High Times. He was like very sweet, wanted to offer me a jump on the jet and stuff and roll back from the event. And I was like, if somebody else needs it, for sure, take it. It was a good thing I hung out because I actually went, like I was saying, I went to go see Daryl Hall and John Oates and all these guys play at the jazz festival. And
right.
They fucking killed it. It was great. As a matter of fact, why don't we do a little switch up on the songy since I had him on monitor.
What's your request?
Let's throw a little Daryl Hall and John Oates for a second since we listened to them at the jazz festival. Old school motherfuckers that personally
pick the album.
Alright, let's
Jingle Bell Rock.
No.
Rich Girl. Yeah,
slide down to the, let me see.
Alright. Song switch up. Yeah. That was a good transition song anyway. The Tupac version. That sample was in Django.
This is always a good one. This was like...
Oh, let's turn it up.
Back in the day. A little live version so you get to hear him live a little.
What year was this?
Shit, I'm not sure what the live version year of this was.
What year did the song come out?
Oh, shit, in the 80s for sure.
Does that just bring you back?
A little bit.
Take the bong hit?
Yeah.
Where were you when you first heard this song?
So, my dad used to have a recording studio back in New York. And my dad used to have all these bands that used to come play when I was a little kid from all these famous bands and shit. And Rat Dog, Vanilla Fudge, all these old school bands. And Daryl Hall and John Oates, all those guys used to come through and always play and shit at my dad's studio. So I always had a love for those guys.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you prefer... I know you're a versatile music guy. Like whenever I'm DJing, you'll leave your studio and you'll just come dance with me, which is cool. Like, you know, and just for anybody that can, if you're a musician, when you have somebody that's vibing with you, it makes you play better.
Oh, absolutely. If you ask me.
But do you prefer a DJ or a live band?
You know what? If it's a great, I like them both equally, to be honest with you.
Really?
I've been to EDC, man, for years from when it started and shit, and been to a lot of different festivals and stuff. I love all kinds of music, and props to any fucking musician that puts his balls on the line to try to influence and put something out there that people vibe to, you know? And I love fucking, I've had one of the most wildest moments and shit, watching fireworks going off while, you know, David, you know, Guetta is like jamming out and shit. And,
that's good.
You know, and everyone needs
to go to a festival.
Yeah, and I've also danced my ass off to Dave Matthews taking a puddle jumper, like I said, to the fucking gorge. To one of the most beautiful places on the planet, you could see a concert, you know, seeing shit in Red Rocks. This, so again, it really just depends.
Can't
decide. Sometimes my favorite fucking concert of my life was like literally 1997, Dave Matthews concert at Lafayette College, right? I was fucking young. I was in school. We're online. Everybody was like so cool. They were handing out mushrooms to everybody, right?
Interesting.
And we rolled into
that's going to be legal soon.
And
that's going to be in California soon. So
we rolled into the gymnasium.
Purple Top Properties.
And everybody was so psyched. They had all these folding chairs, thousands of them, and everybody was just ready to fucking dance and jam. And they all just in unison. Everybody started folding the chairs in the whole gymnasium, handing them off to each person. And every person just stacked all the fucking chairs in the back because just everybody was like, fuck this, we're all going to fucking dance. You know? Absolutely. And Dave Matthews came out and he jammed a performance unlike anything else. And it was the night before he went on David Letterman and really like actually became pretty famous for the first time and people knew who he was. So, you know, shout out to Dave. And he's got one of our zones dedicated to him. At Purple Haze Dash Radio.
Oh yeah, Dave Matthews. You know, there's a video, viral video that's going around, or at least within my family, we see it. He brought out my granddad, and the crowd just kind of goes crazy.
Really?
I can't remember what show it was or where it was, but
that's cool.
Dave Matthews, man, legend. They're still kicking it. They're still doing it.
25 years, man. We were literally. He was handing out CDs at our fraternity parties. When I went to school in Maryland in 1992.
Selling them or handing them out?
He was literally handing them out at UVM because he was from Virginia. And back then at that school, there's these fraternities down in Morgantown that have a whole fraternity row. Shout out to all you guys. And they have this thing every year, and I think they still have it to this day for almost like 30 years. It's called Derby Days. And a bunch of famous bands back then, Blues Traveler, Rusted Root, Dave, all these famous guys were always known before they fucking broke, actually played at these shitty old school fucking fraternity parties and they handed out. Back then you had CDs, you know what I mean? It just came out. You had tapes.
You sure? I was about to say
tapes. And then all of a sudden CDs were just coming out. That was like the new thing, you know? So.
A-track.
A-track and then tape. And then luckily I was in the A-track generation. I missed that shit. Thank God. That's good.
Yeah. It's, you know what? I'm happy to be a millennial that was born in the 90s or 80s. I was born in the 90s, but 80s or whatever. But it's good that I feel like I'm versatile with analog and digital. I got lucky, you know? So I hear you on that. And you're happy you're not that old, but
yeah.
And you're in the same, you're feeling the same side of it as I am.
Yeah, for sure.
And we got to be happy at the time that we're living now, in general.
Absolutely.
With marijuana being legal.
Yep.
With the changes of cannabis in our medical fields.
Exactly.
And just in general, the development of the country on that aspect.
Exactly. You know?
Not everything is bad. And not everything's about Trump and Sessions. We're going to focus on the good.
Absolutely.
We're not going to even dabble too much in the opposing side. We're going to keep doing what we're doing.
For sure.
We know that.
Absolutely.
And that's why you're listening to us on Dash Radio, Purple Haze Radio.
You know it.
Happy to have my man, Andy P.
Beast. Thank you.
Andrew.
Thank you, bro, for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Yo, Google the guy, figure out who he is, connect with him. Everyone's in business. It's 2018. That's how we doing it. Thank y'all for listening to The Legacy Show. I am Jason Brown, a.k.a. JB3, and we out.
Out. See ya.